Amen. Well, of course, we all are happy to be back together again. I'm telling you, it looks so good. I just returned from Ethiopia, and I'm going to give a full report sometime later, not today. But I have a lot of pictures and videos, and wow, you got to come be there. I told them one time that I was going to rent a C-130 transport train and just take them all and put them into it and bring them here and we could have a prayer meeting.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes.
Amen. Wonderful. But as we all know, you know, what is happening right now historically is a little bit shaking, you know. And I don't know about you, but I've been on all kinds of news channels to try to figure out, and I don't know what's going on. But as much like happened during this time, we're going to read something from the ministry in a few minutes, Watchman Nee. There was big changes going on pretty much from the beginning of the Lord's recovery in China. And the results of that eventually made even bigger changes. And I think what I'm appreciating as we were fellowshipping about this some yesterday with all the brothers is that as Christians, as believers, we need to have a particular view. We need to have an uplifted view. Otherwise, you'll get depressed or angry or something not in your spirit. Right? You'll be tempted, you know, to take sides, or as we have seen even before this thing started, you know, all kinds of things that come in to take our view off the throne, you know, the heavenly view that we have as believers. And I think that this reading that we have will be very important. But sometimes when things happen to in the world that are quite a few thousand miles away, and we watch it on channel whatever, it's easy to just, I don't know, it's there, you know, it's there. Yeah, it's remote. We're not affected that much. We pray for them maybe, but I tell you, today, where we are in the world situation and in technology and the advance of everything, even travel. Like I said, I just came back from Ethiopia, you know, 8,000 miles away where I was there blending. And these countries that we're talking about are full of wonderful believers in the Lord, standing on the ground of oneness, standing in so many churches. You know, we just need to touch the feeling of the Lord. That I think that's what we felt in our fellowship. I have some feeling because, well, one reason I have feelings is because I was there in 1992 whenever the, you know, I happened to be standing in Red Square, but not because I was necessarily planning. I was just curious because I'd never, how many of us have ever been to the Soviet Union before that time? Then Russia. And I said, I want to see something, brothers. And they said, we'll take you to Red Square. So I went to Red Square, and there was a parade going on. I said, wow, it's a parade. He said, yeah, there's a parade. He didn't tell me what it was for. And then they were marching and stuff, and then they started playing, this band started playing, and he said, look up there. And they were taking down the Soviet flag and putting up the Russian flag. And I'm standing there in Red Square. It's like, whoa, I think this is significant. But, you know, I was awed by that, but at the same time, I was seeing something happening in God's move. And there had been a group of saints, maybe including Matthew Stone. When did you go, Matthew? Oh, he's not here. He's at Southeast District. But anyway, there was a group of saints that had been there, and I had been dispatched there as one of the many physicians. You might have gone during that time, Mark. And I was the first physician to go there, try to rescue some of those saints that were there in the middle of that turmoil, in the middle of that outwardly bad situation. It was outwardly very poor, but those saints had given themselves, I think there were about 40, just 40 saints. And they were laboring day and night to preach the gospel, pass out tracts. And people were just taking them in their hands, and they had no idea. They would pass out 10,000, 15,000 tracts a day and then have a gospel meeting. And they said, where are we going to have a gospel meeting in January in Russia? And they would find these theaters. You may have heard these stories. Big opera theaters that were closed because there's no opera going on whenever the country's in turmoil. And so they were able to give them a little, some rubles, and they give you the whole venue. And so we set up this, they set up this whole venue, and not even knowing if anybody was going to come. But they had passed out thousands, and then people just started coming in. Eventually, the whole room was filled up with seeking people. You say, well, all this turmoil, all this, they shouldn't they be hiding in their homes? Or no, they were hungry. It stirred up something in people. That was just amazing to all of us. And one particular time, I remember Benson Phillips was given a gospel message with a translator. And he finished giving the gospel message, and then he said something like, everyone who would like to receive the Lord, please stand up. And the guy translated it, and then everybody stood up. Virtually everybody, maybe a couple here and there. And Benson looked out, and he said, no, I didn't say, I said just those who want to receive the Lord. And the translator said, that's what I said, and this is... And then their brothers had to buy these temporary baby pools, you know, and it was freezing outside, so they put them up in the lobby of the Bolshoi. It wasn't a Bolshoi, but it was like a theater. Put them up in the marble floors of the lobby, filled them up with water, put on rain suits, and baptized people until they had no more strength. And so over the years, we've seen what the Lord has done, of course, through many, many years, and now there are over 180 churches in Russia. And that also was extended immediately to Ukraine. And Ukraine became a place where there are so many churches, and we ourselves probably have donated to the meeting hall in Kyiv, if you remember. I don't know. You know, we've been there many times, and they've been here, and we've seen it. We've been participating. They're us, and we're them. We're one body. There's one body in the universe. And so when things happen, there's a feeling. This is not about nations warring against nations. It's about God's people. Our burden, our concern is for those dear saints and their families and what the Lord could do. And our burden in heart is for the gospel, for all those empty people who have nothing else in their life and it's gone. How many refugees now going into Poland? You hear these numbers, hundreds, thousands and more, probably many, many more will go. So we don't know, but God knows. Amen. We're not in control, but there's one who is in control. Amen. That president, this president are not in control. Well, we know our president is not in control, but that's another matter. There's nobody on the earth that thinks they're in control or in control. Because there's a Lamb on the throne. Amen. He is the Lord of all. And he is administrating his economy. And that's all he cares for. And so I think I may... We're going to read that chapter from Watchman Nee, but I wanted to just read this letter from the serving ones in Ukraine. And I just got this, and I don't know if all of you have gotten it even, brothers. There was another one that came from the serving ones in Ukraine. And I'd like to read that to you, and then we'll read corporately this chapter. It's only about... Suzette read it to me on the way here this morning. It takes less than 15 minutes to read it. So we'll just read it. All of us will participate. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is it. So let's do this one. Let's just have maybe a couple of brothers on the front row just stand up and read some of this. And we'll get the sense, and we'll get the heart, and we'll get the feeling of the brothers and sisters there. And then we'll read the chapter. Is that okay? Okay, go ahead. If you'd like to read, just stand up behind Peter.
Dear brothers and sisters, as we face one of the most historic events in recent human history, we would like to first remind the saints of the Apostle Paul's prayer for us in Ephesians 1. Let the Lord would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened to know the hope of our calling and the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe.
We are reminded that this hope and this power exist in another realm, in the divine and mystical realm, and in the pneumatic Christ and the consummated Spirit. Surely these days, we need to ask the Lord to transfer us out of the physical, natural realm, full of human anxiety, opinion, and thought, and to open our minds to see the real things taking place in the unseen realm. Amen.
It is crucial as we approach the time of the Lord's coming that the saints realize who the Lord is, where he is, and who we are as a result of our union with him in the mingled spirit. Amen. There is an urgent need for a number of saints to transcend the natural realm and in full union with the Lord, with his feeling, his thought, and his insight, to pray in prayer. Amen. That the authority of the throne would be exercised in the present conflict. Amen. May the Lord help us all.
Amen.
Our statistics regarding the saints and the churches in Ukraine indicate that there were approximately 50 churches and 1,500 saints in Ukraine prior to the pandemic. Based on recent reports, throughout Ukraine, the saints are suffering greatly in the present conflict. In the area around Kyiv, where the largest church of about 200 saints is located, some of the saints are remaining in their homes. About 40 saints are in the meeting hall, and another 40 saints are in a village outside of Kyiv.
Yesterday, quite a few saints were able to travel to cities in West Ukraine, many of which are now also under the duress of war. A good number of saints have gathered at our conference center in West Ukraine, in a small village that we thought would be spared from fighting, but we have found out that this area also is threatened.
The president of Ukraine has declared a general mobilization, meaning that all men between the ages of 18 and 60 can be conscripted at any moment. Now, it is difficult for any of the young brothers to flee. No males are being allowed out of the country. The lines at the Polish border extend for many kilometers. May the Lord give us the prayers we need to pray for the protection of the fleeing saints and their travel.
Many Ukrainian cities where the saints are under attack. Under steady bombardment, many of the saints are suffering physically and psychologically. Pray that the Lord will surround the saints with his protection, that the souls and minds of the saints will be covered and guarded from the threats of the evil one, that the Lord will provide them with their daily necessities, and that they will realize and directly experience Christ as the shepherd and overseer of their souls.
Those who would like to offer for the needs of the saints in Ukraine can give through LME. Instructions for sending a check through postal mail and for sending gifts by wire transfer can be found at lordsmove.org/offerings. Instructions for those who wish to give through ACH transfer or through the PayPal Giving Fund can find instructions at this web address. Please follow instructions there concerning the way to designate your offering, especially if you give through the PayPal Giving Fund. Those who wish to offer through PayPal or by a debit or credit card can find instructions at lordsmove.org. No matter what way you give, please designate your offering for Ukraine.
Amen. Don't stop there.
Yours in Christ, the serving ones in Ukraine.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, this will give us a lot of prayer, right? This will lead us to a lot of points of prayer to try to care for these saints. And I hope we're going to receive this letter. I think it'll be posted on the newsletter, which will also be on the website, I think. Is that right? anyway, I think this will be the one that will be there. And we can use that to know what to pray, you know, and to pray more specifically for the saints in this environment. But also to help us in our spirit, because we all need the Word to be nourished in our spirit. Amen. Otherwise, we're so easily distracted by other things. I would like for us to read the references from this chapter we're going to read. So let's get our Bible out. I always ask the trainees before every lesson, do you have your Bible? They say yes. Say, I love my Bible. Okay. I love my Bible. So let's go to Matthew 24. And this is from the Collected Works of Watchman Nee. It's number 45, if you actually want to find it in the print. But it's also online. And this is from Matthew 24, 4 through 14, this whole section here, starting with verse 4 and going through 14. So if you'd like to read a verse, just stand up. We don't have to go to the microphone. Just stand up and read it, and we'll read through these first.
And Jesus answered and said to them, see that no one leads you astray.
For many will come.
24?
Yeah. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray.
And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for it must happen, but the end is not yet. Amen.
For nations will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and these will be the famine and earthquake in various places. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Amen.
All these things are the beginning of the birth pain.
Right. Amen.
Man, they will deliver you up to tribulation. I will kill you, and you will be hated by all the
nations.
Amen.
And at that time, many will stumble and deliver up one another, and one will hate one another.
And many false prophets will rise and will lead many astray.
Amen. And because of lawlessness will be multiplied, the love of the many will grow cold.
Amen.
But he who has
endured
to the end, this one shall be saved.
Amen.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come.
Amen.
Well, what a striking passage when you consider the text. We all know about this verse in verse 7, for nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We quote this whenever there's war.
Right. Yes.
But what was the Lord's view of it? These things are the beginning of birth pangs. Birth pangs.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of all this,
yeah,
you may ask? What's going on here? Is my way of life going to be disrupted? Or is this one going to win or that one? Am I going to lose my internet access? You know, that's what we worry about. But you can see the intention of all things that happen on the earth is to produce something. Birth of what? Yeah. Overcomers. And then, this was also striking, they will deliver you up, this is verse 9, to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. So we'll see as we read this reading from Watchman Nee, there's a reason for this, because the war is not between nations. There is war between nations. There will be, there always is. That's what he's saying. But you need to see something further. The war is actually between Satan and God's people.
Amen.
That's right.
So that's why it needs our prayer.
Amen.
We're not praying for sides, right?
Amen.
We're praying that we would all be overcomers.
Amen.
That this could actually bring the Lord back. And that this would lead to verse 14,
right?
The gospel of the kingdom. And then the end will come. Oh, Lord. Amen. So the other verse, to just quickly read this other verse references in Acts 4:25. Acts 4:25. And it points to Psalm 2, which is a good verse to read to dig into some of these matters. If you want to study some this afternoon, get into Acts 2. But let's just read Acts 4:25 altogether. Who, through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, has said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise vain things? We all know what Acts 2 is about. I mean, not Acts 2, Psalm 2, right? It's about the resurrected Christ and this and the ascension and the gospel. So let's read through this next section. The brothers will put this up. It's not that long. And again, we can have some line up. Please feel free, brothers and sisters, to line up and read a couple of lines or so. And we'll all enjoy reading it together. And then we'll have some time maybe after that for, we'll see how it goes with the time, to fellowship or pray, and then maybe get into the morning revival even. So the brothers are going to put this up, I think. Yeah? Okay. Brothers, could you make it a slightly bit? No, you can't really make it bigger. So again, let's read.
Chapter 1, 139, World Wars and the Church, November 9, 1940, Shanghai. Many people pay attention to the signs of the end times. Some say that the answer lies in Matthew 24, 4 through 14. It is true that the Lord spoke of the end of this age in this portion of the word. As a consequence, the focus of many people is on people fighting against peoples and nation against nations. But we have to see that no matter what the outcome of these wars and no matter how these peoples fight against peoples and nations against nations, there is only one result, the suffering and loss of God's children.
In any war, there are two sides. Spiritually speaking, there are also two sides. On one side, there are the Christians, that is the church, and on the other side, there are the opposing nations. They join together to inflict hardship on God's church. The issue is not which nation wins. The focus is the people of God. In the war between Japan and China, the suffering party is neither China nor Japan, but the people of God.
In the war between Germany and England, the suffering party is not Germany or England, but the people of God. This is why the Lord said in Matthew 24, 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all of the nations because of my name. Man looks at the victory or defeat of the nations, but from God's view, it is his people who are suffering, no matter which nation wins or loses.
The spiritual significance of world wars. Today, the world is a mess. Peoples are fighting against peoples and nations against nations. We can see war and famine everywhere. These are the works of Satan. In the eyes of the world, nations fight against one another because of antagonism. But in the eyes of God, they are all banded together. Before the European War, an English brother wrote, "Once the war starts, I do not know how many Christians will be left behind." A Christian cannot take the same view as others at the time of war.
We have to see the manipulations of Satan behind all wars. Strictly speaking, when one nation fights against another nation, it is not a case of two nations fighting one another. It is a case of two opposing nations rising up to stumble Christians. The end result of the wars is not the downfall of Germany, England, China, or Japan, but the downfall of Christians. Satan's goal is to stumble Christians. A Christian has to realize the spiritual significance of all these things when a war breaks out.
Amen. The Lord continued in Matthew 24:13, saying that Christians should endure to the end when they are being hated in wars and tribulation. This will lead to their salvation. He said, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. During a war, God's children will be persecuted. This is why there is a need to endure. But at the same time, we have to preach the gospel. We also have to be a testimony among the Gentiles. Even if our testimony cannot spread to other nations or regions, it can spread to our cities at least. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached continuously in the whole inhabited earth before the end will come.
Amen. The world opposing Christ and the Christians. The words in Acts 4:25 are quoted from Psalm 2:1-2, which says, why are the nations in an uproar, and why do the peoples contemplate a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed. Why are the nations in uproar? Why do they contemplate? They roar and contemplate the removal of Christ. Wow.
When the Lord was on earth, Herod and Pontius Pilate attacked him. God anointed Christ. Although the Christ in the flesh is no longer on earth today, he is in all the Christians. Hence, the uproar and contemplation of the nations are aimed at Christians today.
Apparently, the world is divided into alliances and nations. But tonight, I hope that you do not see Germany, Japan, England, or China. You have to see that you are a Christian. Amen. In the eyes of God, the nations roar and the peoples contemplate vain things to attack Christ and God's people. Herod and Pilate were enemies of one another, but in the matter of crucifying Christ, they were one. The Jews and the Gentiles thought that they became one at Pentecost, but God said that at the time of Christ's crucifixion, both the Gentiles and the Israelites had gathered together to stand against Christ and to attack his son.
The need of the church is prayer. I do not know how to say this. It is not something that is easy to speak about. I can only say that the church in Shanghai must continue to pray for the Lord to take control of all the things that are happening and will happen in the world. Once war starts, many people lose their jobs, real estate goes down, gold is in demand, and banks close. Men are anxious to exchange their money for goods and try to hoard them. Once war breaks out, the suffering party is the church.
Christians will either suffer loss or be stumbled. They will suffer either materially or spiritually. There is bound to be suffering and loss in some areas. In these days, we do not have time to enjoy entertainment. We have to pray in a specific way. Hades has only one goal, to afflict Christians. The future of 1940 and thereafter is bleak. Christians must have an enlarged view and see the reason and goal of this world war. Great changes may be coming starting tonight and continuing through next spring. If we have any strength at all, we should direct it to prayer. Amen. We must ask the Lord to take control of the situation so that God's children will not stumble and so that the gospel will continue to spread.
Amen.
Maybe some of the other brothers would like to share something.
Well, my feeling is not different. surely we need to pray. You know, saints, one thing is that we have to realize that in all of human history, we look at the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. If you look at it with a natural view, you see human history. But if you look at it in another view, you see hidden in human history is God's move, is the divine history. And I'd like to read to you, continuing Steve's feeling, some excerpts from 1981 and some excerpts from 1991 when Brother Lee spoke. We have to realize, we have to, like Steve mentioned, what feeling do we need to touch? We need to touch the feeling of God's heart. We don't need to touch the feeling of fear. We don't need to touch other feelings. We need to touch the feeling of God's heart and then have a particular realization. So in 1982, Brother Lee spoke something in a general way for us to have the realization that God's history is hidden in the human history. 1991, I will read that. I don't know if you remember, but this is right after the Gulf War. So it was a four-day war that lasted 100 hours, and the world was surprised, and Kuwait was liberated, so was the Iraq War. But also, like Steve mentioned, it's when the Soviet Empire fell at the same time. But I'm going to read to you, it'll take about 7 minutes, and these words, I think you'll feel like they were just spoken this morning, and I hope we can receive them in this way. The events of world history have been sovereignly arranged by God for him to carry out his purpose. Don't think that God authored the Ukraine attack, but you have to realize God is sovereign. God didn't author it, but God is sovereign. As Acts 17:26 says, he made from one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Listen to these two words. Determining beforehand their appointed seasons and the boundaries of their dwellings, the rise and fall of the kingdoms of the earth and the boundaries of all the nations have been predetermined by him. Praise the Lord. God's move among men is wrapped up in the course of history. Whether we speak of his becoming flesh through the incarnation or the spread of the gospel or of the raising up of the church life or the preparation of the bride, all these aspects of his move require the proper environment as far as the world situation is concerned. We must be more aware of God's arrangement of world affairs. Saints, even this morning, there must be a sense within us God's arrangement. God's arrangement is involved. More concerned about the crucial time in which we live and more burdened for his ultimate move in what might be the ultimate world situation, just like Brother Steve said, not our personal universe. Lord, take us out of our personal universe and bring us into the universe of God's move. God's move. Since God has a purpose to accomplish on this earth with mankind, he surely has the sovereign authority and power to arrange the situations in human history. I do not believe that many of the professors who teach world history know the significance in human history. Surely not many have any concept that the world situation has much to do with God's move. Actually, the world situation is under the arrangement of God. The world situation is under the arrangement of God. It is God who has appointed the times for a certain race to do this or to be there. It is God who has made the borders of all the different nations. It is God who raised up kings and who put down nations. This is clear not only from the Bible, but from historical facts. Beast devours beast, devours beast, devours beast, devours beast. That's human history. War, like Steve said, there will always be war. Okay, now Brother Lee's fellowship from 1991 to me, which is really particular this morning. Before 1991, I had no thought about a new direction for the Lord's move, but right after the war between the allies of the United Nations and Iraq, I received a deep impression. After that war, I reconsidered the world situation. We have to consider what the Lord wants us to do in the present time. We have to consider what the Lord wants us, his recovery, to do in the present time. While we have been changing in recent years to practice the church life according to the God-ordained way, the world has also been changing. We should not think that the present changes in the world situation are meaningless. The Lord is not only the creator of the universe, but also the ruler of the entire world. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, right? You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He learned one lesson. Praise the Lord. He came to know that he was not the ruler of the earth, but that the unique God, the one in the heavens, is the heavens do rule.
Amen.
There is the rule of heavens on the earth. This really touched me this morning. Whatever happens in the world situation must be something of the Lord. Whatever happens in the world situation must be something of the Lord. We see many changes in today's world situation, but we have to wake up. All of our eyes need to be open. We should now exercise our spirit to say, Lord, what do you mean in all these changes? And what concerns us in all these changes? We need to be those, like Steve, we need to pray in a prayer. Amen. There was also some fellowship that came out that many of us saw. Brother Lee's testimony, you know, when he was young, regarding, someone asked him, this was during the World Wars, that some of the Christians in Germany are praying that Germany would win. And the Christians in Britain are praying that Britain would win. Which prayer will God answer? Whose prayer will God answer? Well, the problem is the prayer is not in a prayer. What does it mean to pray a prayer in a prayer that's in James? It means to pray a prayer that has God as the origination, God as the source, and God as the prayer, and God as the target. So we should not be praying toward Russia. We should not be praying toward the Ukraine. How should we pray? We should pray toward God's interest.
Amen.
So in Daniel, you know, Daniel opened his window three times a day against the king's orders and prayed toward what three interests? The first interest was the land. The second interest was the city. The third interest was the house. He was praying toward Christ, toward God's interest. And then Solomon in 1 Kings 7 did the same thing when the temple was consecrated. He prayed in the same way, repeating these things to pray towards God's interest. To pray towards something other than God's interest is to pray for that thing. You may think you're praying against that thing, but as soon as you pray toward that thing, you're praying for that thing, for that matter. The world situation having always been the indicator of the Lord's move on the earth, it is historical fact that the world situation has always been the indicator of the Lord's move on the earth. The Bible is a history of God's economy. His interest is in his economy.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, in this situation, your interest would become the feeling of our heart, right?
Amen.
The carrying out of his economy has much to do with the world situation. Amen, Lord. Gain this kind of prayer to us that affects your economy and affects your move in this world situation.
Amen.
I got to go to Russia, then to Ukraine for GMR. And so our assigned city was Zhytomyr. It's about 150 miles west of Kyiv. And when we were there for those days laboring, we had babies. We brought forth children. And shortly after we left, the church was established. And shortly after that, there was a wedding. And all of this was just because of our prayer and our labor. So my heart is really aching for my teenage children that are there, right? It was 15 years ago. So, you know, you never know what the Lord is going to do. I don't remember their names so well, but I certainly remember their faces. And, you know, they've been on my heart quite much. Of course, we met a good number of the serving ones there, too. And so, you know, I feel like I really enjoyed the table this meeting, because there was the oneness, right? Amen. In the Spirit is the oneness. And so all the believers are united in the oneness. And I feel like this is just an example of how we stand with the other believers in oneness, and we send the bountiful supply. I'm also impressed how the morning revival always tends to correlate with where we are in the ministry. So I just have a couple of verses from day 4. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves dig through and steal. What? But store up for yourself treasures in heaven,
Amen.
Where neither moth nor rust consume, and where neither thieves do not dig through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My heart is in Zhytomyr, Ukraine. You know, I left a little bit of myself there. And this is where our treasure is. What do we treasure, saints? What do we value? You know, do we value the building and the oneness of the body, or these material things? But even further, listen to this. And especially after a word like this morning, the word is so accurate. Therefore, do not be anxious, right? As believers this morning, we have a charge. Do not be anxious. We've been presented a burden, but this is not something to be anxious about. You know, some of you know my job. I'm an ER doc, and the number one thing that's going to bring somebody to the ER is anxiety, hands down, every time. 40 to 50% of my cases are directly related to anxiety. It's amazing. And here's a clear word. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? You know, if you're a displaced Ukrainian across the Polish border, don't you think you'd say, what shall we eat? Right? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But what? But seek first his kingdom. So saints, this morning, our charge this morning is to seek first the kingdom. Secondarily, not to be anxious. And third, don't store up for yourself, right? So, you know, even at the end of the brothers sharing on an update, there was a call about our finances. We've been in 5 weeks now about being loose from our finances and storing something in our heavenly account. So I just like to echo everything the brothers shared this morning. I could go on, but I won't. Just that the Lord's will get what he's after. And in these times, you know, my son, my youngest son came into my room 2 nights ago, and he was troubled. He's 19, and this is his first big world shakeup, you know, and he needed to hear the gospel and a kind of an overview, a panoramic that these things will happen, you know, and not only that, they will intensify. But hallelujah, as believers, right, we know our position, we know our standing, we know our charge, we know what the word says. I mean, we know how it ends, right? So do not be anxious. Instead, store up for yourselves. Amen.
Saints, at this time, it would be good if we have just a little bit of word of caution for all the saints. It is very easy in this day to post a lot of things of what we have heard on social media. The problem is there are saints that are hiding in the meeting hall in Kiev and in several places. And what happens when you do that is you give the enemy the ground to attack the believers in Christ. So be very cautious of what you say on social media. And first of all, pray. Not first of all, post and publish, right? And of course, you know, our brother's exhortation to us, when we pray, we need to pray toward what? Toward God's land.
Yeah.
Who is the all-inclusive land? Christ. We need to pray toward the city, right? The city is God's kingdom, which is Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God,
yes,
and its righteousness, right? and all these things will be added to you. And then we also need to pray toward God's house. That is the temple, the dwelling of God with man. Amen. What position should we pray? Should we pray in the position of Russia, or pray in the position of Ukraine, pray in the position of the United States, or should we pray in the position of ascension?
Yes.
From the heavenlies, right? Where are we today? Are we on the earth living like all the Gentiles are? Or are we in the heavens with Christ, right? So praise the Lord for such a help from the ministry of the age.